So I've been asked several times if we're having salad tonight. Yes, we are. Continuing my salad series, and we'll be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I've also been asked about this. And just for a tip for you guys, people do notice your shoes. All right, so I got lots of comments about this, but I think it'll be pretty clear. And hopefully, these nice white shoes will help you remember what I bring to you tonight from this message. So, over the course of this week, when you find yourself remembering me up here in my dark suit and my white shoes and giggling, hopefully you'll think about the passage as well. So, it was on purpose, not, oh, I forgot to change my shoes. Though I have done that, but that was back when I had black sneakers and not white ones. But so Hebrews chapter 12, and last time we bit off, you would say, the first helping of salad that's in this particular passage, chapter 12, verse 1, and that was, let us lay aside. And now that you've had time to digest that, it's time for our second helping in this verse. That laying aside, we talked about laying aside those weights and those sins that so easily beset us. And we talked about how there's things that we picked up while we were still lost, or things that we picked up even after we've gotten saved that maybe not necessarily sinful, but they're weights and they slow us down in our relationship and our walk with the Lord, and that we need to lay those things down. And we touched upon the rest of this, why that's important, just briefly, and we're going to go into it in detail here tonight. And so let's read our verse here. We're going to read chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So, I hate running. I've told many people this. It's not a secret. See, my school, in high school, I went to a public school, and they had a cross-country team, which is running across the countryside. And I always thought that those people had some sort of infection that I didn't want to contract. And the cross-country team is actually a pretty good illustration for our passage, as we'll see. But to me, a treadmill is an invention of the devil, or something left over from the Spanish Inquisition. I hate running. But if you give me an object, that's a different story. See, at the same season that cross country was going on, soccer was going on. And I played that. There's a lot of running in soccer. But I had an object that I was chasing after. You see, I'm like a dog. If somebody is willing to throw, kick, hit, do whatever with a ball, I'll chase it until I collapse. I'm still that way. If I have that object, then it's not such a chore. It's not so tedious, all that running. In fact, I put up with the running in soccer practice. We did a lot of running because you have to build up that endurance, but I did it so I could be chasing that ball on that field when game time came. See, the bad news for me is that our passage says, like it or not, I should run. And I don't like it. And we're talking not physically, but spiritually. We need to run in this spiritual race. And our flesh doesn't like running. Mine doesn't, and yours doesn't either. But the good news is this passage also tells us that there is something worth pursuing in this progress, this process of running that we're called to engage in. So let's look at our passage here. And first, we want to consider that we have an activity to engage in. It says, let us run. We are supposed to run. And it's speaking about a period of exertion, a period of time. And oftentimes in our Bible, our spiritual life is referred to as a walk. In this case, it's referred to as running. And it's talking about a strenuous effort. It means to run in a race. It's a competition, and you're working really hard and trying really hard. And whether it's walking or running, there's an activity that we have to engage in. We have to be active. It's something that's going to take effort on your part and on my part to be running. And if you stop, guess what? You're not in the race anymore. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep running. Standing still isn't running anymore. If you stand still, you're disqualified. In any sort of race, if you stop, what initials do they put after your name and number? DNF, did not finish. Or disqualified. We've got to run. And in the previous chapter, Hebrews 11 is that book of faith, that chapter of faith, the hall of faith, as it were. We see some examples of what running looks like by people who have run the race. And there it talks about Abraham. The running that he did was believing God, taking God at his word. Sometimes that's difficult, but we've got to do it. We've got to engage. We've got to actively choose to believe what God has said, like Abraham did. Trusting God. We see the example of Rahab. The spies came. She saw the evidence. She trusted and hid these men at the threat of her own life. If she had gotten discovered, she trusted God. We have got to be constantly trusting God. This is part of our running. This is the activity that we've got to be engaged in. We had the example in chapter 11 of Noah doing what God wants you to do, no matter what anybody else is doing. Do what God wants you to do. You are running. Yes, we are all running as a church, and our verse says, let us. We should all be running, but there is something that God has for you. And we'll get into that a little bit more. And Hebrews chapter 11 lists the various prophets proclaiming the truth of God. We need to be actively engaged in that, or we're not running this race. We see the example of Enoch. He was one who fellowshipped with God in God's word and in prayer. We need to be doing that to be running. We have the example of Moses, who was zealous for his brethren and kind of got ahead of God's timing in a way. But he had love for his people and fellowship with his people. And we need to love one another and have fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ in this body that Jesus has put us in. And if you're not spending time here in the preaching and in the fellowship times and in Sunday school times, then you're not running like you should be. And see, the writer, he also gave us the example of Samson, Gideon, some of those judges. And what did they do? They were going against the tide of this world. They were running against the wind, you might say. The world was, and their own people wanted to go this way away from God. And these men said, no, we need to go back this way. And they were running for the Lord. So it says that we need to run. But it does say, let us. See, this running is both an individual and a corporate effort. Sort of like that cross-country team. Because someone would finish first. Somebody would win that race that the team was running at the meet. But it wasn't just about the winner of the meet was not about who won the race. It was who, which team won was determined by how the entire team did and their times all put together. And so that guy who ran the fastest and maybe won, maybe they also on that team, they had the slowest guy. And that kind of brought the average more down to the middle. So together we need to be running, all of us, as a team, in what God has for you and what for God has for us as a church.
Amen.
If I don't run, my church suffers.
Good.
Now, I'm the only one that I can control is myself. I can choose whether I'm going to run or not. I can't make any of you run. I mean, the boys in gym class, yes, I can make them run. Or else there's going to be demerits. But ultimately, if they said, no, I don't want to do it. Okay, you don't have to do it. And God gives us that choice as well as individuals. We've got to think about this. We're in this together. And we each have to run. But I can also be an encouragement or a discouragement to the people around me if I'm running or not. See, if I'm just kind of poking around and everybody else is running, some of those people who are really going hard at it, when it gets a little tough, they're going to say, what am I doing this for? He's just standing around. We can be a discouragement or we can be an encouragement. Maybe that faster guy comes to the back of the pack and helps that guy on his team who's slower than the rest, who wants to give up. And he says, no, come on, keep going. And when that guy sees the fast guy come back and help him, that encourages him a bit. Oh, man, he could win this thing. He's coming back here to help me. We can be an encouragement to each other in this running that God calls us to do. And this writer, he says, let us. He's including himself. He's not just some coach standing on the whistle with a sideline saying, get out there and run. No, he's in there with them. And that's the way that we should be. In there with each other. The coach is in the race too. The pastor is in the race too. The guys on staff are in the race too. So it says that we have to run. And it also says that we have to run with patience. As Pastor Chris told us this morning, being in Christ is something that occurs at a specific time and place in your life. That moment of salvation, you are in Christ. But once you are in Christ, it's time to start running.
Amen.
And that's something that you do. You cannot run. You cannot work hard enough, fast enough, whatever enough to become saved. But once you are saved, then you have the privilege of running for the Lord on His team. But it says with patience. Once you're saved, faith is not in the past tense and belief is not in the past tense. It is ongoing. You've got to keep believing God's word when you're saved. You've got to keep living your faith when you're saved. And the running, it says, with patience. The writer says, run with patience. He says, I know this is difficult. I know you struggle against it because I do too. But we need to have patience and just continue. Keep on. When we think about patience, we think about just kind of sitting around waiting. No. This is real patience, being busy doing while you're waiting, being busy continuing, though it gets hard. Run with patience. On this course that we've got, sometimes you think of that cross-country runner, and they're running across the countryside, and they'll go through some woods. And they'll go through a meadow or a field, some areas along a road, up some hills and down some hills, and some places they may even have to cross a stream or something like that. Get their sneakers all wet and uncomfortable. There's going to be difficult times in our walk. in our race. We need to continue with patience. Keep going. Keep going. Have you ever run against a stiff wind? I had that experience many times in that conditioning running for soccer. It seemed like the wind was always blowing in the same direction that the slope of our field was going. So not only were you running uphill, you'd be running against the wind half the time. Our world is the wind. And we've got to run against it. And if we don't, it's going to push us backwards. We're not standing still. We've got to run with patience. Keep moving. Really, even if you have to slow to a walk, keep going. Think about those marathoners. Yeah, there are a few in that whole crowd of people who are there to try and win. But a lot of those people are there just to finish, to show themselves that they can do it. And they'll walk for a while and they'll run for a while. It doesn't matter. They're still moving in that race. They've got to go at their pace, but they're intent on finishing that race. So we should be running. But we want you to see here, too, that we also have a course to follow. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that word race is speaking in that context of that assembly place, like a stadium where they would have their games, their competitive games. And one of the highlights of that competition were foot races. And so the course was inside of that stadium. And that's still the case today when you watch any sort of track and field event. They run around the track. Auto racing, they go around the track. Even in cross-country racing, there is a path that they need to follow. When we run, we're running a race, and a race has a course, a specific way. A race has a defined course. There are boundaries on that racetrack. So if I see, oh, the racetrack goes up, and then it curves around and comes back this way, I'm going to run that way for a little bit, and I'm going to cut the corner and go back down this straightaway. No, no, no. There's boundaries, and our boundaries, your boundary and my boundary, is God's will for us. Amen. I'll talk about the course in just a minute, but there are boundaries that we have to stay on, and there are rules. I can't put on my rollerblades to run a sprint against everybody who's just got their sneakers on. I mean, there's rules. And all sorts of rules, especially when you get to that Olympic level. God has rules. God's commandments are our rules for this race. You can do this, but don't do that. You can do this other, but don't do this thing. So not only do we have boundaries, but we have rules. So we have God's will and God's commandments that guide us on this race. It's not up to us to make it up as we go along. And we see in the examples, others ran their race. They followed their course to the finish line. A race has a finish line. Paul ran his race. He did it very well. And he said he wanted to do that. He wanted to run all the way through to the finish line and not stop. Just keep going. And Jesus ran his race. You talk about difficulties on a racetrack. His included contradiction, shame, and the cross, as it says here in our passage. But he ran his race. And when we look back at those various people in the hall of faith there, and we look at Paul, we look at Jesus, and we can see the full course. We can see, oh, this was their entire course, but they couldn't see it while they were on it. Abraham, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Moses, they couldn't see where that finish line was necessarily. They just had to keep running. I've got to follow this course. I don't know where it ends, but I'm going all the way to the end, wherever that is. And we are running with each other, not against each other. God wants us to finish our course. The whole thing. Not just part of it, not stop halfway through. He wants us to run all the way. What is our course? What are our boundaries and challenges? Your course and my course is the direction that God has for you and the promises that He has for you. That is your race course. That is what you are running. That is what God wants to see you accomplish. My course is different than your course, but there are similarities. For example, my course has called me into the ministry. That's why I'm standing up here right now. I understand many of you are not on that same course, but you've got your own course. And just as an aside, maybe some of you, God does want on that course into the ministry, but you're not running. Don't do that. Follow what God has for you. But some of the parts of my course are the same as yours. And I can think of four right off the top of my head. Prayer, Bible reading, fellowship, and witnessing. That four spokes of that wheel. That's something that every single one of us should be running in and engaged in. My course is the same as your course in that way. Our race is holding on to and living our faith and following God's will. That's what's before us. That's what we're looking at. And again, mine's not the same as yours, but in a way it is the same as yours. And like I said, every race has a finish line. And our finish line is our physical death or the rapture. And none of us knows when that is for each of us. And sometimes that can make the race hard. I can look at my race and it's kind of like that coach who's angry with you. You know, the team messed up in the last game and lost. And he says, "All right, guys, start running and don't stop until I get tired." Where's the finish line? When do we stop? We might not know what that finish line is, and that can get discouraging. But when you're running a race, you have to run all the way. You've got to get to that finish line. And I'm not just running for the sake of it. I have an object that I'm pursuing, and it's not just my finish line. God has something that He's trying to accomplish in us as a church and in you as individuals.
Amen.
He's got goals for you. He's got plans and aspirations. He knows what He wants you to be. And it's more than you are right now. So run. We need to stay on course. But just like I don't know necessarily where my finish line is, I do have that goal to go after. And our passage says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." So just like me physically and spiritually, I'm not inclined to run and neither are you, but we have not a soccer ball that we're chasing after, but the Lord Jesus Christ. When you run a race, you don't hold back. You leave it all there on the track because you're trying to get to that finish line first. And that's the way that our walk in this life should be. This is the way our race in this life should be. Leave it all on the track. There's no tomorrow. Because I don't know where that finish line is, but I'm running after something, and that something is Christ.
Amen.
When you're running in a competitive race like they do for the Olympics, you don't set your eyes on that finish line. And I see this in gym class where I ask the guys to run up to the gate and back to the next gate. They're booking, and then they come, and they're getting closer to this last gate and kind of almost like stomp on the line. No, that's not how you win a race. By slowing down next to the finish line, you run through with all your effort, all the way through, all the way to that end. You set your eyes, actually, not on that point, but at a point beyond when you've got your eyes fixed and when you're running. Now, something that we have our eyes on beyond is Christ. See, God determines where my finish line is. I don't get to choose. And since I don't know, I can't slow down and just kind of step on the line. I made it. No, I've got to run through. I've got to have my eyes fixed on Christ. He is my ultimate destination. God wants me to make me more and more like Him. He is the goal. It will slow me down if I focus on where my finish line may or may not be. It will slow me down also if I'm looking at the other racers beside me. You could probably find on the internet some videos of some athlete who thought he had that race won, and then he's looking back over his shoulder. Next thing you know, he's on his face and he loses the race. That's what can happen to us if we get distracted by others. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and run right through that finish line. And the reason why is because He is the author of my faith and of your faith. He is the leader. He's the one who set the example. He's the one who is the goal, as I said. He ran the race Himself. He's been through it all. Everything that you've been through and will go through and more, Christ has already been there. Christ has already run that course. And you know what? He did it perfectly. Verse number 4, I'll throw this in there. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Christ did. For your sin and for mine. He ran all the way to the cross. And through the cross. Into resurrection and life at the right hand of the Father. He is the author of my faith. And He is the one that sets the course. He has laid out everything for me in my race. And He has laid out everything for you in your race. He knows what's on your track. And sometimes we come up to an obstacle and it's like, well, what is this doing here? Christ put it there. I don't know why. He does. But our object is to run. He knows. He knows all about it. He knows exactly what I'm dealing with and what I will deal with. He just says, keep running. Keep running. Keep coming. I'm here. I'm with you. And our saving faith in Him puts us on that course in the first place. He is also the finisher of my faith. A finisher is referring to someone who completes or perfects something. You know, we read through that Hall of Faith in chapter 11, and all of those men that list in there, none of them made it all the way to Christ. Christ-likeness fully, like the goal is. None of them became sinless and perfect in their lifetime, and neither will you. Neither will I. But here's the beautiful thing. Our goal is Christ. My finish line is somewhere before that. And when I run and I reach my finish line and I die, I haven't gotten there yet, but Jesus, as the finisher, picks me up and carries me the rest of the way. Amen. To the winner's circle. Amen. He finishes it for me. It says in verse number 2 there, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He does that with joy. When I cross wherever my finish line is and He picks me up and carries me the rest of the way, He does it with joy. And I hope He does it with pride. And I might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then, if the Lord should tarry, we join in that cloud of witnesses. We go into that grandstand that's cheering on the next generation. So He is our object. We also want you to know we have some obstacles to overcome. In verse number 3 it says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now, we already talked about how you have to have patience. It's not an easy race. It isn't. The biggest obstacles in the race, though, most often are ourselves. Is myself. And there's two things that are mentioned in the passage. Our physical ability and our mental ability. Weariness. Our physical limitations. We are limited. By time, I can only accomplish so much until I cross that finish line. When I pass away into eternity. But also time and strength. As I get older, I'm not able to do as much as I used to be able to do. But I've got to keep running, but I can only do so much. I'm limited. And I get more limited all the time as I get older. So it's an obstacle. It's a problem. There's only so much I'm going to be able to accomplish what God wants to do in this world. But so were those people that were in that cloud of witnesses. They had the same limitations that you do. I mean, Abraham. The promise that he believed when he was 100 years old, he was still running. At 100 years old, when everybody in their right mind would consider their body dead in terms of being able to reproduce, no, he continued to run. He didn't look at his physical limitation. He had faith in God. They were just as limited as you are. And look at all the things that they did. You have the same capacity. You serve the same God. Amen. You have the same Savior that you're looking to. Don't sell yourself short. See, the context here isn't rebuke. It's an encouragement. And I want to encourage you. Keep running. I don't care if you're 25, 55, or 85. Keep running. Just look at our examples in chapter 11. Just look at, especially our example of Jesus Christ. Look how much He accomplished in just 3 short years of ministry. Salvation of, forgiveness of sin of everyone in the entire world if they choose to come to Him. Look what He accomplished. And I'll make, back to the previous message, an allusion to that. Maybe you need to lay aside some things. Maybe you've slowed down in your race because you picked something up that maybe you shouldn't be carrying. Maybe there's an area in those 4 disciplines I mentioned that needs some attention. Prayer, Bible reading, fellowship, or witnessing. You can maybe think of maybe your shoe came untied. You got to set that back, get it back right so you can pick up the pace again. And realize that the night is coming when no man can work. He is coming back one day. And you only have so much time. How much are you going to get done? It's not long. It's not long. And the rest, that's with Him in glory. There's time to rest. On the other side, we need to keep running. But we have physical weariness. And we also see fainting in the mind, mental limitations. You know, if I go into any sort of race and I tell myself I can't win, it's almost 100% sure that I'm not going to win. Because I've already talked myself out of it. The body is tied to the mind. And your flesh and your mind in this race can team up and lie to you. I can't. I'm tired. I've done enough. I've done more than others around me. This is the stuff that goes on up here, isn't it? And gets us, convinces us to stop running. Fainting in our mind. And this happens too when we look at others. Now I'll use myself as an example in this. I graduated from Bible Institute last year. As I said, being called into the ministry. Last year, I was 47. The other three guys in my graduating class are in their mid-20s. I look at that and I say, how much can I do? They've got their whole life in front of them. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? They can accomplish so much more than I can. I say, I'm too old. No. This is the course that God has for me.
Amen.
Forget that. Get your eye on Christ.
Amen.
I was kind of talking along those lines at a conference I was at. Another preacher said to me, he said, well, you run the race and the reward's the same. I get to be in heaven with the Lord. Just like those laborers, one started early in the morning, one started at noon, the others late in the day. Same wages. Preaching doesn't make me any more special than you. You've got a race before you. And Jesus wants to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it doesn't matter if you've got 3 years or if you've got 15 years or if you've got 60 years. Don't faint in your mind. Because the antidote, again, is Christ. Verse 3, it says, for consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Look at what Jesus went through in setting up the race for you. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Look at what he accomplished in his ministry. And now he sets you on a course. And as a brother in Christ, we are heirs with him. He says, okay, now run. Consider what he went through just so that you could run a race to please God. Consider the conflict that Jesus faced in completing the race perfectly. The contradiction that he faced from the religious people. Saying, don't believe him. Who told you that you could say that? Who told you you could do that? The contradiction that he faced from them, from sinners. I don't, away with him. I don't want him. Look at the personal attack he faced, where his own family thought that he was maybe a little out of his mind and maybe we should pull him to the side. He faced all this stuff, but he completed his course. Look unto him. Look at what he went through so that you could be where you're at right now as a child of God and be in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at the joy. Christ, in running his race, bought back from hell millions of people. Christ, in his race, now is at the right hand of the Father for all of eternity. And glory at the Father's right hand. And because of his race, because of what he ran, we will be there with him one day.
Amen.
Look unto him. Don't faint. Look at him. Look at all he went through. And look at yourself and say, can I do just a little more after all that you've done for me, Lord? And I know, Lord, I don't know where that finish line is, but I know that you're going to pick me up and carry me the rest of the way to where you are. But let's get real. Let us get real. These Hebrew believers were coming to grips with the fact that the Christian life is hard. They were rejected by family and friends. They suddenly found that they had different priorities than the rest of the world around them. They had different standards than others. They had resistance and opposition from all sides. And their natural reaction, and that's why this is written to them, is to quit. We're the same. They're no different than us. Maybe you're facing that right now. Some, not necessarily overt persecution by family members, but some ostracization. Some thinking, okay, they're a little unusual now. Like I said, let's get real. This is where some of us are at. Same as these believers. Resistance at work. Resistance from the world. Different standards. We look around at all the things that other people are allowed to do, and no, we've got to follow this course. No, don't get discouraged. Don't faint in your mind. Stay the course.
Amen. Good.
You've got a new race you're running now with a new goal. When we got saved, I know I didn't know this. When I got saved, I got put on a racetrack, the starting gun went off, and they said, run. The Lord said, okay, now run. And, okay, yeah, I'm all fresh. Let's go. And take off running. We see that with new believers, don't we? They're off like a shot, reading their Bible all the time, praying, witnessing to everybody around them. But then after a little while, the race starts getting kind of hard. We get tired mentally and physically. Happens to all of us. There's nothing wrong with that, but what's wrong is when you stop running. So what do? Get your eyes off of each other and off of yourself and on Christ. Whatever obstacle you're up against, whatever in your mind is saying you can't or you've done enough, say, go away. I've got a goal and I'm running. Get your eyes off of that and fix your eye on Him. Look at what Christ did. And I'm going to complain about this thing that I'm going through? No. Keep running. And realize that you have the honor of being in this race, of serving the Lord and trying to accomplish what God Almighty Himself wants to accomplish in this world. You're a part of that. And you're not in that race by your merit, but by His, Jesus' merit. He's called you to this race. What an honor.
Amen.
I should leave it out all on the track for Him. And realize that there's a cloud of witnesses looking on and cheering for you, all those that went before. They want you to succeed. They want you to have victory. They want you to win in the same areas that they struggled with. Realize that Jesus is the author. He determined the way of salvation from the beginning. And He knows all about that course that you are on. He knows all about that hill that you're running up right now. He knows all about it. But unlike that coach that stands on the sideline, He's there with you. He's running with you. He's like that guy on the team who actually won the race. And now he's coming back for the last guy on the team to help. And he's running part of that track all over again with that guy. Christ is running that track all over again with you and with me. That's an encouragement. He knows. Here's another thing. He knows what you're capable of with His help. And it's more than you think you're capable of. That weariness in the mind. Jesus is the finisher. He won the race so that I don't have to. The end goal is to be like Him. And we will rest with Him at the end. Keep running. Stay in your lane. Stay on your course. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Don't worry about where that finish line is. Run through it. I thought, Brother Doug wouldn't mind me using this quote from his email this week. He said, "And done right, the work of the Lord is not a burden, it is a joy. I'm often asked if I'm too busy or have too much on my plate. The answer, no, I am privileged to serve the Lord. I am glad that I have a few years left of active service. I'm happy to serve Him with all I have and want to do more, but I do know I have limits." Brother Doug is running. And I say that to encourage you in your running. Leave it all on the track. Do more. Strengthen maybe that area. Tie that shoe that has come untied, maybe in that area of prayer or that area of witnessing. Keep pressing for the mark, as Paul said, for the prize of the high calling of God. God is calling each of you to something special, and us as a church. So I'm telling you, run, and let us run together, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't be weary. Don't faint in your minds. Run. Keep running. And it'll be worth it all.